So we'll now invite Brother Harold Ford to speak to us on Daniel chapter 12.
Well, thank you, Brother Peter, and good evening, brethren and sisters, and younger people. Daniel chapter 12. I bet you didn't think we'd ever get to Daniel chapter 12, but here we are. I forget when we started Daniel, but it must have been at least 12 months ago, I suppose. Maybe more. Anyway, here we are, chapter 12. Before we start Daniel 12, I'd just like to mention that this summer, God willing, there will be a Bible school in Winfield, and it will be attended by, God willing, again, Brother Harry Wilcox of Vernon. Now, you all know Harry. Why is it of interest? Well, Harry will be 100 years old when he gets to Bible school. 100 years old. He's been going quite a while for quite a number of years. I should maybe turn this mic on, then you can hear me. We know other people who have also reached their 10th decade, such as Brother Ken Jones there. He's 97, I think. And I believe our friend Charlie Brown, who was going to be here this evening, he's about 92. And then there's Sister Peggy Pierce, who's around 90 or 100, I'm not sure. She's very deceiving because she looks about 65, you see. And then almost there is Sister MacArthur. Bertha MacArthur is almost up to her 10th decade, I think. Anyway, when you look at all those ages, it sounds like they're very old, doesn't it? It's a long time to be 100 years old. Not that I'm that far away from it, but it's a long time. But in the lifetime of God, who is eternal, those big numbers are just like the blink of an eye or the snap of the fingers. Oh, I forgot Brother Mac over there. He's about, let me see, he's about 80-something. A blink of an eye. That, compared to eternity, that's what those numbers are. So that brings us to the timetable of God as it relates to the kingdom of men. Now, God rules in the kingdom of men, and he gives it to whomsoever he will. He gives it first to that nation then becomes an empire, and we've gone through all of those empires over the last few months. Now, God's dealings with mankind started when God created Adam. And the timing of that, when was that, depends on which authority you look at. And we have an authority here, theoretically. Come on, Peter, what happened to this thing? Thank you very much. If you could make that run, it would be great. Oh, beautiful. Thank you very much. I'll call you up again in a minute. Now, Brother John Thomas suggested that Adam was on the earth, started to be alive in the year 4089 B.C. Now, he wrote in the 1800s. Then Sir Isaac Newton in the 1700s suggested just a straightforward 4000 B.C. Bishop Usher in the 1600s suggested 4004 B.C. And Rabbi Jose Ben Halafter in the 200s, suggested 3761 BC for the time of Adam's creation. Now, currently, we're in the year 2014, which, when you add that to any of those numbers, just it doesn't matter which number, we're just about 6,000 years in total. So the timetable of God started back then. It's not working.
So what are you pressing?
I'm pressing this little arrow here. Click this button. Thank you, sir. You can see I'm very much computer-oriented, and particularly if I have a friend like Peter around. God's timetable for man, 6,000 years. The time of the end, the time of the end for the kingdom of man. We read about the time of the end this evening. And put my glasses on and be able to see it. At the time of the end, verse 40 of chapter 11, and also in verse 4 of chapter 12, both speak of the time of the end. And so the time of the end for the kingdom of men has already begun, and it appears it has been going on for 100 years, and it probably will last for 100 to 150 years. And those details are in those verses, Daniel 11, verse 40, to Daniel 12, verse 4. So all the events that we read about in between those two verses, Daniel 11, verse 40, right through to the verse 4 of Daniel 12, are concerned with this 100 to 150 years that will make up the time of the end. Now, 1 year after Brother Ken Jones was born is the very date which marks the beginning of the time of the end described in Daniel 11 and verse 40. Let's just read that for just the first few words. And at the time of the end shall the king of the south push at him. And we looked at that last time I was up here. He was Brother Ken Jones. What year were you born?
November 3rd, 1916.
Next, 1916, you see. So he was born in 1916. And 1 year later, in 1917... was Daniel chapter 11, verse 40, the first few words, the first sentence. And that verse was fulfilled when Britain, the king of the south, pushed the Turks out of Palestine. And we discussed that last time. And we have a picture, and I think, there it is. It worked very good. Famous public photo, you've probably all seen this before, the famous public photo of a dismounted General Sir Edmund Allenby entering Jerusalem, there he is, on foot on December the 11th, 1917, to show respect for this holy place. So that was his victory march, so to speak, into the city of Jerusalem as he overpowered the Turks in Palestine. Now, 1 month earlier than this was a famous document produced, a letter sent from the United Kingdom's foreign secretary, and his name was Arthur James Balfour. And he wrote this letter to a man called Baron Rothschild. He was the leader of the Jewish community in Britain, and he was required to transmit this letter from Balfour to the Zionist Federation of Great Britain and Ireland. Now, this is what the letter had to say. His Majesty's government view with favor the establishment in Palestine of a national home for the Jewish people and will use their best endeavors to facilitate the achievement of this object. So that letter was written 1 month before Allenby went into Jerusalem. So Allenby played a very important role, a very important part in achieving the objective that is outlined in this letter. The letter also concerns the civil rights of existing non-Jewish communities and so forth. But the punchline, he was going to establish, or at least they viewed with favor, the establishment in Palestine of a national home for the Jewish people. And since that time, of course, we've had World War II, and we've had the Korean War, the Vietnam War, we've had the Arab Spring, and but regardless of all that, this did work. In 1948, we saw the creation of the State of Israel, which would never have happened if it hadn't been for this man, Allenby, getting rid of the Turk out of Palestine. Now, the next step in God's program involves, it appears to involve you and me. So we've got these verses from Daniel 11, verse 40, right through to Daniel 12, sort of organized in what appears to be the chronological sequence. So the circle one concerns General Allenby getting rid of the Turk out of Israel, out of Palestine. Then we come to circled item number two. And at that time, this is in Daniel, well, maybe we should read it out of the Bible, and I won't get confused. The Daniel chapter 12, verse 2, and many of them at that time that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake. This is the next step. This is the resurrection. This is what is next on the agenda of God's timetable. Some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. So obviously, there's going to be a resurrection and a judgment in order for those things to happen. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. But back in verse 1, in the middle of the verse, it says, "And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book." And that's the book of life. And that's you and I, God willing, will be in the book of life. And we will be delivered from what? Well, from item number 3 circled on this chart, from the time of trouble that is coming. We'll be delivered in the sense that we'll be taken to the judgment seat. And we'll be there while all these other terrible things are happening on the earth, and in effect we'll be protected at the place of judgment for a while. And as we read, those who use their time wisely at this time of their life will receive everlasting life as stars in the political heaven of the kingdom age. So this time of trouble, look at what we read in the green there. "At that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince, and there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time." And what's the climax of the time of trouble? Well, we read about that last time we looked at this chapter. It's in chapter 11. The last verse of chapter 11 is the climax of this time of trouble. "And he shall plant the tabernacles of his palace," verse 45 of Daniel 11, "between the seas and the glorious holy mountain, yet he shall come to his end, and none shall help him." So who is the the he shall plant. It's the northern invader is going to come down and plant his tabernacle between the Dead Sea and the Mediterranean Sea. And he will have defeated Israel in the process. We also looked at last time at a confederacy of nations. We'll just look at that now. Confederacy of nations, Ezekiel 38, verses 1 to 6, will be the he who will come down and defeat Israel. And they involve Russia and many nations of Europe. And we looked at these slides as well, how that Russia will have a confederacy of nations which will include Iran and Libya and Ethiopia and the European Union. And the first step will be to go into Turkey. Turkey in Ezekiel 38 is Togarma. So the first step is for Russia to be involved with Turkey, whether by conflict or by invitation. It doesn't matter. They will be on the side of the King of the North. And with them will be Iran, which is Persia in Ezekiel 38, and nations of Europe. And they will go down into Egypt and Ethiopia. And at a certain point of time, they will leave that area and go up into Israel. And Israel will at the time be defended by the King of the South, which is Britain and United States. And they will take defensive measures to protect Israel. But the Russian Confederacy will attack and defeat the defenders and occupy the state of Israel, which is what Daniel 11 and verse 45 is saying. They will plant their tabernacle between the seas in the Holy Land. But that victory doesn't last very long. It doesn't last long because in the next breath there, the last little phrase, he shall come to his end, and none shall help him. And why is that? It's because of your activity now. The next step in the program is for Jesus Christ to come with the glorified saints and destroy the northern invader on the mountains of Israel, which we're told in Ezekiel 39, verse 4, and then take control over Israel. So Christ and the saints will now replace the northern invader and take control of Israel. And Daniel 12, verse 1, we're finally getting to the chapter 12. At that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince. Glasses. Which standeth for the children of thy people. Now, it's not just then that he's standing up, of course, because he was standing up. He's been in heaven with God for 2,000 years. And when he returns, the first thing he will do in a standing up position will be to judge those who are responsible to the judgment. So Christ is standing up all the way back here in Daniel chapter 40, chapter 11, verse 40, when the northern invader starts his move to come into Israel, he will already have gathered you and I to the judgment seat in all likelihood. So Michael is really a description of Jesus Christ. The word Michael means who is like God. And who can you think of who is like God but Jesus Christ? He's the most like God that I know of. And he's been involved, as we said, with all of the activities that we've looked at so far this evening, because at his resurrection, Christ was given all power in heaven and in earth. So even though he's sitting at the right hand of God, he is involved for the last 2,000 years. Zechariah chapter 14 and verse 5 says, Jesus will have arrived with his saints at the Mount of Olives as the representative of God. If you look at that verse in Zechariah chapter 14 and verse 5, it doesn't use those words. But think about who is like God, and you think about Christ. And it says there in verse 5, the Lord Yahweh, or that is Yahweh, my God, shall come, and all the saints with thee. And it's not really Yahweh arriving at the Mount of Olives. It's Michael, the one who is like God, used in Daniel to describe Jesus Christ himself. So this is the continuation of the time of the end. As we mentioned, the time of the end began in 1917, and this is a continuation of all these events of the time of the end. And he stands up for the children. Look at what it says there in Daniel 12, verse 1. At that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince, which standeth for the children of thy people. Children, and those are the Jews, really. And Christ will save a remnant of the Jews, those who have survived the invasion of the northern invader. And that's probably something like 2 million Jews will be saved by Christ. But this time of trouble, such as never was, since there was a nation that is mentioned here in verse 1 of chapter 12, we should look at that for a moment. And there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was, since there was a nation, even to that same time. Now, when did the flood occur? Does anybody know? Want to take a wild guess, Peter? Before Christ? Yes. Something like that. It was about 1,650 years after creation, which would be about 2,350 years B.C. That's in round figures. And then the Tower of Babel came along about 100 years later, say 1,750 years after creation. And you know, the word nations isn't found in the Bible until you come to the Tower of Babel and the things that happened when God caused them to have different languages and so forth. So the time of trouble that is coming on the earth has to be compared to events that happened after nations came into existence, since there were nations. And if you look at Daniel, at least in Genesis chapter 10, chapter 10, verse 1, these are the generations of the sons of Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And unto them were sons born, the sons of Japheth. They produced 14 nations. And the sons of Ham produced 30 nations. Unto Shem, 26 nations. 70 nations altogether. These are the families of the sons of Noah after their generations. And by these were the nations divided in the earth after the flood. Genesis 10, verse 32. There's been major destruction in the earth, but nothing ever was as bad on this earth as the flood. Think about that. The flood obliterated everything except Noah and his family and those in the ark. And this time of trouble, since there was a nation, well, it won't be as bad as a flood. It'll be much worse than what we've had since the flood, but it won't be as bad as the event of the flood. And the earth will survive. And this event of the time of the end could very well have an effect on us personally in this year, this calendar year of 2014. How will this time of trouble impact upon each one of our lives? Think about that. Well, as we've mentioned, we feel that Daniel chapter 12, verse 1 is not just speaking about the deliverance of the Jews from the northern invader. I believe Daniel chapter 12, when it says, Christ will stand up, and at that time thy people shall be delivered, it means that you and I will be there as well as spiritual Israel being delivered. We'll have been delivered before the Jews in Israel will have been delivered, and we'll get out of that time of trouble. But not for long. So we'll be amongst the people in that verse, chapter 12, verse 1, at that time thy people shall be delivered. And that word delivered means to escape, to release, to rescue, deliver, leap out, preserve. And we'll be preserved at the judgment seat. After that time of trouble is over, it'll only be over because we make it over. The time of trouble will end when Christ and the saints finish the final battle of Armageddon. But it won't just involve you and I, will it? It's at this point in time that we will have friends that we've lost from years gone by, like Brethren Gordon and John and George in times gone past, and others who have left us, and they will be delivered as well. They will be delivered from the grave. We will be delivered from the time of trouble to go to the judgment seat. But we will be delivered. So, looking again at verses 2 and 3 of this chapter 12. Many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake to everlasting life, some to shame and everlasting contempt. They that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament. So we want to be wise. And look at the reward. And they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. Now, that means everlasting. It's the Hebrew word olam. It means for an age, a hidden, undisclosed period of time. And that period of time was hidden only to Daniel, because we know what the time period really is. I don't know if this microphone is working or not, but it was hidden to Daniel, who lived 500 years or so before Christ. But then when Christ arrived, he made it so it wasn't hidden anymore. This hidden period was revealed by Christ in Revelation, wasn't it, as being 1,000 years. So The words that we just read, forever and ever. Forever means for a hidden period of time. John wrote about it in Revelation and says, well, that hidden period of time, hidden to Daniel, is 1,000 years. Revelation 20, verse 6. But then he says, forever and ever, ever. The second ever is the Hebrew word ad, A-D, and it means and beyond. So after the 1,000 years is over, that's the forever period, and then this and ever is beyond, which is eternity, and that's what we hope to be part of. But Daniel didn't understand that. Look at what he says in verse 8. I heard, but I understood not. Then said I, O my Lord, what shall be the end of these things? What shall be the end of these things? he didn't understand. And why should we expect ourselves to understand? Because we've been given more information. Let's go on to verses 5 to 7 of Daniel 12. Then I, Daniel, looked, and behold, there stood other two, the one on the side of the bank of the river, on this side, and the other on that side of the bank of the river. And one said to the man clothed in linen, which was upon or above, in the margin, above the waters of the river, how long shall it be to the end of these wonders? And I heard the man clothed in linen, which was upon or above the waters of the river, when he held up his right hand and his left unto heaven, and swear by him that liveth forever, that it shall be for a time, times and a half. And when he shall have accomplished to scatter the power of the holy people, all these things shall be finished. So what's Daniel's looking at here? Well, Daniel is looking at and listening to a group of angels having a conversation. And they're talking to each other. And one of them is telling the other one to say something else to the third one. The river, if you go back to Daniel 10, verse 4, we remember that Daniel was on the river Hiddekel, which is the river Tigris. Some versions say the Tigris Hiddekel, just to make sure. And the river actually, in a symbolical sense, represents nations, as we could come to that conclusion from Revelation 17 and verse 15. The waters represent nations and peoples and tongues. So here we have a couple of angels on either side of the river, and we could imagine that these angels are really guiding the destiny of people, guiding the destiny of nations as one nation takes over control and then another, and these angels are looking after the job. Then there's a third angel, the third angel above or hovering above the river. And he is asked a question by one of these other angels. He's clothed in linen. And we saw a detailed description of this angel clothed in linen. We saw it in Daniel chapter 10 when we looked at that, in Daniel chapter 10 verses 4 to 6. The same angel. And we also recognize that linen, a man clothed in linen, linen represents the righteousness of saints in glory. And so this angel clothed in linen really represents you and me in prospect. So he's got several jobs. But he seems to have one main job. And he's asked this question, how long shall it be to the end of these wonders? And from the nature of this question, we get a clue as to the name of this angel. And it's the same angel that is in Daniel chapter 8 and verse 13. In the King James Version, his name in the English translation is Certain. And in the margin, you'll see the Hebrew word palmoni. And we also see notes in the Oxford King James Version concerning this word palmoni. I'm just going to turn back to that and read it out of the margin for you. Concerning chapter 8 and verse 13. Then I heard one saint speaking, and another saint said unto that certain saint which spake, how long? So here we have again, in this chapter, we have angels talking to each other, and we have Daniel listening. And in the margin for that certain saint, we have these words, palmoni. That's the name of this angel. And he's the numberer of secrets, the wonderful numberer. All those words are in my margin for the Hebrew that is involved. So we come to the conclusion that this angel is God's timekeeper. He looks after the timetable to make sure things that are supposed to happen, happen on time. And we go through the Bible and we look at all the various kingdoms that came on the scene, and they all came on time because God has angels, and this one angel is his timekeeper. And this angel raises two hands and he swears by heaven. And we find that strange because we're told in the New Testament not to swear, but this angel is doing just that. Daniel 12 and that verse 7. He held up his right hand and his left hand unto heaven and swear by him that liveth forever and ever, at least forever, that it shall be for a time, times and a half. So, that's how long? A time, times and a half. It will be 1260 years. If you look at that Hebrew word for time, it has to do with a repeat of something. And whenever we have a birthday, we have a repeat of something. So it's a Jewish year, 360 days. Times is 360 twice, 720. And a half is 180. Total of 1,260 days. And then using Ezekiel chapter 4 and verse 6, which is a formula for interpreting Bible prophecy of time, we have 1,260 years. And in the New English Bible, it says, after that period of time is ended, it says, when the power of the holy people ceases to be dispersed. So we can come to the conclusion that there'll be some sort of a clue that the Jews are no longer being dispersed. They cease to be dispersed. And it's during the time of the end period, because the Jews have been scattered all over the world, as we all know. And this will not go on forever. And it hasn't gone on forever, because during our lifetime, we have seen Jews returning to the land of Israel. And when did it start? When did this time period start? Well, let's have a look at this little slide. There's the Dome of the Rock. It has a very interesting history. If you read on Google, you can see all the details. But the Dome of the Rock was erected by the Muslim ruler Abdel Malik in 688 to 691. The cover was replaced in 1993 with a gold covering. Apparently, it was originally lead, colored gold. Then it was replaced by aluminum, colored gold. And this item says it's now gold covered. And it was built in 688 on the holy site of the Temple of Solomon. And so to religious Jews, that would be very degrading to their God and to our God. So from that date, 688, until the State of Israel was created in 1948, guess how many years went by? Well, the answer is 1,260 years, and this is what this angel suggested would be the time. So if the starting and the ending dates are correct, then we have an interpretation for Daniel 12, verse 7. Again, that verse was not written for Daniel's benefit. He was living 500 and some odd years before Christ. He wouldn't know anything about Abdel Malik. He wouldn't know him. And so it was written for our benefit, all of these verses are written for our benefit because the message becomes clearer once the events have happened. And once sufficient time has passed for those events to happen. So it's much clearer to us than it would have been to Daniel. Look at verse 11. From the time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away, and the abomination that maketh desolate set up, there shall be 1,290 days. We should maybe read verses 8 to 10. I heard and understood not. Then I said, O my Lord, what shall be the end of these things? And he said, Go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end. Well, we've seen the revelation as unsealing some of that. Many shall be purified and made white and tried, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. So that message, I think, is clearer to us than it would be to Daniel. The temple in Jerusalem was destroyed in the year 70 AD by the Roman army. That's a picture, an oil painting on canvas by Francesco Hayez. And what did they put in place of that temple? Well, they put in place of the Temple of Solomon, which was really the Temple of Herod, but on the same site, they put pagan temples. They put a pagan temple there and another pagan temple over there. And this is partially fulfills Daniel chapter 12, verse 11, when we see these pagan temples and them making offerings to the pagan idols in the most holy places. It sort of fulfills Daniel 12, verse 11. The daily sacrifice was taken away because the temple of Herod had been destroyed, and the abomination that maketh desolate was set up. And desolate means to stupefy or make senseless. And we know there's no sense in making offerings to idols. And so that's why it's desolate, it's stupid. In fact, that's one of the meanings of the word in Webster's dictionary. But there was something else set up a few years later that was even more senseless than that. It was in the year 608 AD that there was an emperor called Emperor Phocas. He was a Roman emperor in Constantinople, and he confirmed a previous declaration or decree that the bishop of Rome was the universal bishop of all churches. That was the decree. He was the universal bishop of all churches. This is actually a greater abomination than a pagan idol temple, because the bishop of Rome requires his subjects to senselessly or stupidly worship him as though he was God. So now many, many Christians in the world today are stupefied or made senseless to what is the truth. That's what the word means. And that's what they do. There's the throne of the Pope, and there are the worshippers of the Pope around his throne. And he exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he is God, citizen, the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Now, when we add 1,290 years of Daniel chapter 12, verse 11, to the year 608, when the papacy was made the universal bishop of all churches, we arrive at the date 1898. And 1898 would have been well before any of us was born in this room. But it was a very important year for Jews everywhere, and that's the reason why. That man was called Theodor Herzl. Theodor Herzl. He was an Austrian-Hungarian Jew. He was a journalist. He was a writer. And he was considered to be the father of political Zionism. And as such, he was the founder of the State of Israel, because it was his work that encouraged Jews to go back to their own land. They didn't do it right away, but he promoted Jewish immigration to Palestine in an effort to form a Jewish state. So it was his push. And in Basel, Switzerland, there was a congress in 1898, which is 116 years ago now, but well within our 100 to 150 years of the time of the end, this Jewish Congress in Basel, Switzerland, promoted Jewish migration to Palestine. So the decree of focus in 608 to the Zionist Congress in Switzerland in 1898 is Daniel chapter 12, and verse 11, 1290 years in between those dates. So we get to Daniel 12:12, which speaks of a blessing. Let's read verse 12 of Daniel 12. Blessed is he that waiteth and cometh to the 1,305 days. And then verse 13, but go thy way till the end be, for thou shalt rest and stand in thy lot at the end of the days, says the angel to Daniel. 1,335 days in prophetic language is 1,335 years. So what happens when we add 1,335 years to the Dome of the Rock, which was erected by Malik in 688, it brings us to the year 2023. It's in the future. It's 9 years away from now. And what happens in 2023 is impossible to say. Impossible to say with any certainty. But whatever it will be, it will certainly be closer to the time of the kingdom age than we are today. So I don't have an event for that. But you can take all of the events in history. This is the value of current events. You can go back through history and look at history and compare time and time, one event with another event, and try to figure out how they fit into the prophetic language. But that is one possibility. In 2023, we will be closer to the kingdom than we are now. In verse 13, Daniel is 83 years old, and he was told he would die or rest until the resurrection, at which time he would stand up and receive his inheritance. And he'd done all of that in pantomime in chapters before that we've read. He'd done a lot of pantomime showing how he would die and how he would be raised and given immortality. We've had that in some chapters of Daniel already. And it will happen in reality when Christ returns and the judgment takes place. So in conclusion, we know that Jesus has had all power in heaven and earth for over 2,000 years. He has administered that power while sitting at the right hand of God in heaven. What I said, over 2,000 years, just a little under 2,000 years. He's had promised that power right from back in Daniel. He was promised all power before that. And he received that power after his resurrection. And he has been administering that power while sitting at the right hand of God. And in Daniel chapter 12 and verse 1, when Michael stands up, we have Jesus Christ standing up. No longer sitting in heaven beside God, but he will be, in fact, beyond the earth. He will be raising the dead. He will be rewarding the righteous. He will be destroying the oppressors who are coming against Israel. And he will be establishing the kingdom of God over a period of time. And we know that God does have a timetable for every major event that happens upon the earth. Revelation gives us a great deal of information about the sequence of events after Christ returns to the earth. But today, God has a timekeeper called Palmoni, or Palmoni, who ensures that everything happens on time. And we know that God is vitally interested in Israel, and he's influenced world events to make the land ready for them. As we've seen with General Allenby, that was one of the major events of the world, making the land ready for the Jews and making the land ready for Christ and the saints. We've looked at these numbers, 1260, 1290, 1335, and we've shown certain world events which impacted on Israel and how they seem to fit the prophecy. But possibly the most important two verses in the book of Daniel are verses 2 and 3. Let's just read them again, and we'll see why they're important. Daniel 12, verse 2 and 3, "And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. They that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever." So why is that important? Because it's an exhortation to each one of us to be wise. We should be wise. And how do we do that? We wise when we put God first in our lives so that when Christ returns, he might find something in us that is useful to him in the kingdom age. Thank you.